this is Joel Young and my wonderful and beautiful wife, Inside and Out, Danielle.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today. This is For His Glory Ministry, because everything we want to do is
for His glory.
That's our heart and soul. Our ministry motto, our guiding light, is from John 12:21, that says, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And that's what we want you to know and be able to see better today, so you can love Him more dearly, worship Him more sincerely, and see Him more clearly, and come to Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And for those of you who do not know Him, we ask you to listen, open your hearts and souls. You'll have our mailing address at the end of the show, and feel free to write to us. Come to our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
Perfect. Now, we're going to help you see the Bible. Our ministry is to help you see the Bible in its length and breadth and height and depth, and a revelation that God has given us, so you can get closer to what Jesus says. Because we know in John 8:32, the Lord says, "The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the truth will make you free, but it's the truth that you know. You know? But how do you know what you are to know? To know in Hebrew is not to know intellectually from the neck up, but from the head down. The Hebrew term is lada'at, which means to know. Yada is the root, and that literally means to know by experience. It is the same term used in the covenant of marriage, where a man and woman become as one, and Adam knew his wife. He didn't just know her name, he knew her intimately, body, soul, and spirit. There's a union through communion and a oneness. So the Lord brought that to my attention some years ago, and He said, "How much of the Bible do you know? How much of the Bible do you know?" Not how much have you memorized, mm-hmm. not how much have you read, not how many times have you gone through it, because it's more important not only how many times you go through it, but how much of it goes through you. The question being and remains, how much of the Bible do you know, that when I look at you, I can read that verse off your life? Well, then, that's a little different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about being a giver and of charitable deeds. We just taught recently about sounding a trumpet and some very fascinating teachings. So feel free, please, because there's so much we can do in a half hour, literally 26 minutes. Come learn with us and come and see. ForHisGlory.org. Press catalog and go through our website, too, and learn. Learn deeply, richly, drink. Come and join us. Today we're going to help open your eyes to a deeper teaching, and the name of today's show is called Light and Heavy, the Jewish Way. Light and Heavy, the Jewish Way is the name of today's radio show. And I want to quote first from a teaching in Judaism where Rabbi Simon said, "The matter is a deduction from minor to major, simple to complex. Rabbi Shimon, kal v'chomer hadvarim." Kal v'chomer hadvarim. Kal means light, like K-A-L. Chomer, v means end. Chomer, C-H-O-M-E-R. Chomer means weighty, heavy, an important interpretation from light to heavy. We do this in logic. Any of you ever taken a course in logic, in deductive thinking? I think people should learn how to think. Think about that. We should learn how to think. Sometimes you hear somebody talking and you don't really know how they got to that kind of conclusion. It just kind of, well, that's the way I think. And they put a rubber stamp on it with no real ink. It just doesn't wash, does it? Let's understand how this goes, because this is standard Jewish fare. We'll show you and we'll go through several examples in the New Testament. When you understand how you go from light to heavy, you'll see Jesus is thoroughly Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
A Jew living and born in the land of God, in the Holy Land, Israel, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, a Jew, a Messiah to the Jew, a Savior to the world. Listen carefully. This is a standard Jewish fare, expert Jewish reasoning that will sharpen your mind, hone your intellect, and expand your perception. So I want you to enter into the world of the Jew, through which you'll understand the words of Yeshua, not like you've seen before. This is called light and heavy, or Danielle, kal v'chomer.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle in a moment is going to read you something about it, but I want you to give you another Jewish flavor on it first. Kal v'chomer is the first of the seven rules developed by Hillel. Hillel was a famous teacher in Judaism, the grandfather of Gamaliel, and was a contemporary of Herod the Great. Listen to what he said. It is a logical deduction drawn from a simple truth about a less obvious item or issue, even to deduce something known from something unknown. To paraphrase scholar David Biven, it's very interesting. In another Jewish writing called the Tosefta, Tosefta Pesachim 9:2, silence becomes a scholar. How much more a fool? Proverbs says even a fool could appear silent, and even a fool could appear wise when they're silent. So it's important to know when to speak and when not to speak, as we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, there's something called the Mishnah, which is the writings of the Jews. It's oral law. And we have these, what we're talking about, light and heavy, kal v'chomer, reasonings from the simple to the complex, from the light to the weighty interpretations or important interpretations. The teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, we have, interestingly, we have three of these, and we're going to do all three. Kal v'chomer, light to heavy, light to heavy, light to heavy. And you're going to understand in not too long from now and see how Jesus is going from a simple statement and making a greater conclusion, from a light and making a heavier conclusion based on that as a logical deductive pattern of thinking. It's very interesting that the Mishnah, which is known as the oral law of the Jew, it is today codified in 6 volumes by Yehuda HaNasi, Judah the Prince. And if I give you Hebrew, I'll give you the translation right away. Judah, Yehuda HaNasi, Judah the Prince, the Mishnah, 6 volumes long. And what's interesting, it has approximately 6 times the amount of text in the Mishnah as the New Testament. 6-to-1 ratio of information. Remember that figure. I want to show you something that I read. The Mishnah has about 6 times the text as the Gospels, or really the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which is interesting, it's exactly a 6-to-1 ratio, and you have 18 occurrences of the light and heavy in the Mishnah. You only have 3 of them in the New Testament, which is 6-to-1. Yeah, the exact ratio of text and light to heavy in the Mishnah as in the New Testament. Both thoroughly Jewish, and it follows the same pattern and has the same proportion of these examples. Thoroughly Jewish. Very interesting in that ratio. Now, Danielle's going to read in Matthew 7, 9 to 11. If you're just joining us, we're teaching on light and heavy, the name of today's show, Light and Heavy, the Jewish Way, showing and helping you learn how to think and see the New Testament, the Bible, through Jewish Hebrew eyes.
What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?
Perfect. Now, did you hear that? Okay, Matthew chapter 7, 9 to 11. Look at the examples Jesus gives, 1 and then 2, and then brings it to a whole nother place. He makes examples that people could relate to. You have to be able to relate to them. Otherwise, if you speak and you don't communicate, you're just speaking into the air. The person is not receiving and they're not getting it in their soul and mind to create viable change and real interpersonal communication, correct? So Daniel read it, and we have it again. Let's look at it carefully together. Number 1, verse 9 in Matthew chapter 7. Or what man is there among you? So Jesus is pointing the finger proverbially among the group. What man among there? What man among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Doesn't make sense. Who would do that to their own son, your own flesh and blood, your very son? He says, Dad, give me some bread. I'm hungry. Yeah, here's a stone. Chew on this. Well, that's kind of absurd. We're taking from a very plain, simple, startlingly clear purposely shocking statement. Well, of course, nobody would do that. It's crazy. No father would do that to their son. Or if he asked for a fish. So it's still on a father-son relationship, all right, or father-child. He says, you ask for a fish, Dad, I want a fish. Instead of a fish, we give him a serpent. He's asking for life. Would you give him death? Doesn't make any sense. You're not going to get one person in a crowd going to stand up and say, sure, I'd do that. That's not normal. That's not right. That's not relational. That's not being a provider. A father and mother is supposed to be representing God to the child, the teachings, the patterns, the ways of God, training up a child in the way he or she should go. So where is the father here? Jesus is saying, if a child, a son, asks you for that, would you give him not only not give him, but would you give him something totally contrary to the opposite? No. Light to heavy. Light to heavy. So if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Of course not. If he asks for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, well, isn't that nice to hear? You're in the crowd, that beloved carpenter, mild-mannered Jesus, right? Walking on the road says, hey, you know, if you, being evil, well, that's nice. Watch the expression here. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, if you're evil, and you, being evil, you still know how to treat your kids right. You still know how to give, not just get good gifts to your children. And there's no wiggle room here. None at all. You know how to give good gifts to your children. Sometimes we make excuses for people, don't we? We say, well, they just don't know any better. Well, Jesus says, if you're evil, and you still know how to give good gifts to your kids. Because acting and being evil is a choice. Wrong behavior is a choice. Doing wrong and acting wrong is a choice. So even if you make that kind of choice and you decide to be characterized by that as you being evil, you are being evil, you choose to be like that, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. If you, being that bad, could still do good, here's the Hebrew expression. How much more? And you should have out your highlighter if you use as such in your Bible and mark down all those how much more. That's a Hebrew idiomatic expression that is a like an infinite, near infinite type of comparison. How much more? How much more will your father, contrasting evil people, who still know how to give good gifts to their kids, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things? And what's a qualifier under that? To those who ask him. He will give good things to those who ask him. This is one of the three, we're going to do all three, classic, God willing, classic interpretations of Kal Vachomer. If you just joined us, we're teaching light and heavy, the Jewish way. And I want you to see the thorough Jewishness of Jesus, and I want you to implement this into your life. When you talk to people, use these type of comparisons. Don't just go to somebody and go, hi, how are you?
Good, how about you?
Fine. How's your family?
Fine.
Okay. How's your cousin?
Fine.
How's work?
Fine. How's yours?
I'm fine. How's your mom okay?
She's fine.
Good. I went to work today. It was all right, too. What's for dinner? Same old?
Same old.
Oh, same old, same old. All right. See you later. Do you have to be there for that conversation, or you can just kind of email it in? You know, that's not, you're not alive. There's no real interchange there. There's nothing really profiting there. There's very scant information. You didn't penetrate the surface. You can know somebody for 20 years like that and not know them much at all. Extremely superficial. Thoroughly unnecessary, no real human dynamics going on, for sure, devoid of the Spirit. Devoid. God says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? With that in mind, the people who drum their fingers on a table and wonder if God's going to do A, B, C really don't know who God is. And Jesus makes these comparisons for the ultimate purpose of what? Showing you how much more your Father provides and gives good things to His children, to those who ask Him. That's what God is showing. Any of you, if your son asks for something, he asks for bread, you're going to give him a stone. If your son asks for fish, you're going to give him a serpent. Hey, you guys being evil, you still know how to give good things to your children. How much more? How much more will your Father, who's in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?
So we must ask.
Yes. And what is ask? In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you
shall receive.
Seek and you shall
find.
And knock and the door shall be
opened
unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened unto him. The next verse. Which, you know, by the way, the Lord's just reminding me right here, are the two verses right before the three we just did. Matthew 7:7-8. We just did 9:10-11. So the comparison is brought out, and the Greek brings it out in the present tense. If you ask, well, I asked, I didn't receive anything. It says ask. It's in the present tense, which means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. What does it do for you when you ask? What does it show about your character?
Humility?
Yeah, pretty much, because it shows dependence.
Dependence, trust.
Absolutely. Would you ask somebody for something if you thought you had it all together, you knew it all? Would you ask somebody for a question or information?
No.
You go, I'm 15. I know everything. Depending on the culture where you grow up, at certain ages, there's some schism in a mind where we suddenly think we got it all figured out.
When I was younger and I wanted something, I knew if I went to my dad, he would give it to me.
Yeah.
So that's where I went.
And you had that understanding because God gave parents to represent that aspect of God to the child.
Yes.
Dad, mom, they could fix everything.
That's right.
Do everything. They could do no wrong.
That's right.
They're always there. They provide. They take care. They love. They're for you. Everything they have is ultimately yours. Sounds like a model of what God is doing for His children. Let's look at another one. And let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's just turn back a chapter. We're in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 28 to 30. 28 to 30. So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, here it comes, will He not much more? You? Oh, you of little faith! A wonderful title for a believer. Little faith. That's not good, is it?
No.
God says, excuse me, kids, does God clothe the lilies of the field? Are they not prettier than Solomon and all his riches that I gave him too? They're not working for it. I gave them the clothes that they have. They don't toil or spin. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. What about I clothe the grass of the field, which is today, but tomorrow is gone? We say, oh, how beautiful it looks out there. My lawn looks great. My flower, everything looks beautiful. And good, it should. But the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of God stands forever. And God brings out again a major character fault often, too often in believers. We don't trust Him enough. We trust Him in certain areas and to certain degrees. But God says, how much more will He clothe you, you of little faith? Heaven's open from heaven's side, but we can close it from our side. Study Deuteronomy 28 carefully, the blessings, verses 1 to 14, the curses, 15 to 69, and at verse 23, you look it carefully, and you'll see that we can make over our head a brass heaven and iron under our feet. It's kind of hard to receive. And that's pretty much out of unbelief, which is faith in the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lives by faith. If you turn your back to God, people, you're turning your face somewhere else. If you're supposed to be walking toward the light, the darkness is behind you. The shadow is behind you. You turn from the light, that even happens just in a room with the light overhead, and you turn your back to that, the darkness is in front of you, formed by your own form, and you're going to walk into the darkness out of your own creation, out of your own being, your own form. That's what the darkness will take. And that's a dangerous place to be. So God is light, and you are to come unto him as children of the light and grow from glory to glory, strength to strength, and faith to faith. Now we're teaching light and heavy the Jewish way. And God, we already went through two of the three examples in the New Testament, which is in the same proportion to the Mishnah, which has 18 of these kal, light, v'chomer, heavy, or important, weighty matters. And also in the same proportion of text of the New Testament documents, we have the Mishnah being six times as much, and we have six times as many of these examples. Thoroughly Jewish, very intriguing. God is bringing out points for us to relate to see how much more we need to trust him and give us a real vantage point of how this all plays out. Let's go next to, if you're just joining us, we're in the New Testament. We're going to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, New Testament, chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 24. And let's turn there together. Matthew chapter 10, 24. A disciple is not, 24 and 5. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he is like his teacher, and a servant like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, here it comes, how much more? How much more will they call those of his household? Interesting. Listen again. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough that the disciple, that he should be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? What did some of the people call Jesus? Sometimes very unfriendly terms, didn't they? So what happens when they persecute you? He said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. How much more will they persecute you? Jesus warns us persecution will come like they did unto him. How much more will they do unto us? Now, we're teaching today, and we give you the three examples in Matthew 7, 9 to 11, Matthew 6, 28 to 30, Matthew 10, 24 and 25, of the how much mores that are in the New Testament. So you'll see the Bible is thoroughly Hebrew, even when it's in portions in a Greek dress. So how would I use this today, Danielle, if you and I were just talking and we wanted to practice and sharpen up our minds like they do in Jewish circles and obviously through the New Testament, and obviously it's the way Jesus did it there. So how would we put that into practice like Jesus did if I said to you, a little different this time, in the Kal V'chomer manner, light and heavy, how are you?
I would probably say something like, this is the day that the Lord has made. How can we not rejoice and be glad in it?
So you would answer a question
with a question.
Right? If I said, how are you? A question with a question. But your question has a weightiness to it. And a question also answers me at the same time. Interesting. So, and I would say, is not the Lord good all the time? And look to answer something that you just said heavier. Heavier, heavier, and bring out a greater understanding. So we answer a question at times in this aspect of it with a question, and the question that is at the same time what?
An answer
to what you said, and gives a bigger question on top. You have to learn to think pretty fast and deep on your feet. Isn't that interesting? You have many examples of that in the Bible. So you just study that carefully. In 1 minute we have remaining, I'll just cue you in on one of those with Jesus and John the Baptist when they came to Jesus and said, where'd you get your authority? And he said, I got a question for you. Where did John get his authority? They went over on the side. They said, well, we got two choices. John, he got authority from heaven. And then Jesus will go back and answer, so, well, then why don't you believe me? I'm the herald in Malachi 3:1. Or what's our other choice? Well, we could say that John's just a man. Well, the people are going to go, he's a prophet, and they're going to go after us. So they can't come up with a heavier answer to Jesus, who says, where did I get my authority? They said, well, we can't answer you. And Jesus had the heavier answer. He said, well, then I don't have to answer you. And you see that over and over and over in the Bible. And I want to cue you into the way Jesus thinks. Since we are of him, then let's be like him in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Till we see you next time, We pray that you take this into effect, put it into practice, and learn to use the great gift that God gave you, your mind, and renew your mind to the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.